Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it. So this week we're chatting to a girl who has been very, very, very vocal about her prenatal depression. She's had it throughout her pregnancy. She suffered from it quite badly before with her anxieties and stuff. She is a mate of mine, so I know the depths of despair, and I think I can probably say that she's gone to. And she's kind of turned her life around, in as much as she's now become an almost like an Instagram agony aunter about mental health.
Yeah.
And we really wanted to touch on that subject of maternal mental health in this episode, didn't we?
It's interesting, isn't it? Because we hear a lot about postnatal depression and postnatal mental health, but we don't hear so much about mental health during pregnancy. And I mean, I don't know if it makes a difference whether you're planning a pregnancy and then, you know, you find out you're pregnant, or it's a shock, if that makes any difference to how you feel. But I know I've felt completely different second time round.
How have
to
you felt
I did
this pregnancy?
The first. So this second time round, as you know, you were there when I found out. I felt, first of all, I was obviously really excited, I'd say, and shocked. But once it started to like sink in, and it was, I think, because I knew what a big deal having a child was, going, you know, second time round, you know, everything that it entails, it's all consuming. I suddenly thought, we haven't planned this. Is this what I want? Mm. Is this what is right for our family?
Yeah.
Is this right for Axel? And I actually really struggled for the first few months. You know, my husband, he was always wanted more children, and I didn't really. I only really wanted one. And so I sort of, not I resented him for a bit, but I
sort of did a little bit.
Yeah, I sort of did, because I felt like he'd got what he'd wanted and I didn't really know if I wanted it or not.
Right, okay. It's quite brave of you to say that, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we've probably spoken about it on the podcast before I got pregnant with number two, that I wasn't, you know, I wasn't planning on it at all. I'm an only child, and I actually like being an only child, and I can't imagine sharing my parents with anybody. So for me, that's been like the biggest thing, is that I'm taking that away from Axel. And he's going to have to share us and share, like, even share my mum and dad and stuff. And it's really weird. In fact, I'm talking about it now and I'm 2 weeks off.
Yeah, you're quite anxious. I can still feel the anxiety.
I talk about that side of it, I'm not completely okay with that.
Have you got your head around the fact that it's only going to be a good thing for Axel?
Yes, after the first few months, I used to have really bad days where I'd probably lash out a bit at my husband and sort of really not blame him, because that's the wrong thing, but...
But you were pissed off.
I was a bit pissed off, because I just felt like he was totally okay with it, and I wasn't. So it was really difficult to be... And also, you know, when you think, but why am I not okay with it? Because, in fact, the first time, well, you know, when I was pregnant with Axel, I was living in London. James was living in Cheltenham. Circumstances weren't great. And we were totally fine with it. We were really excited. This time round, circumstances are perfect, you know, on paper. Mm. you know, we've been living in the area for a while. My parents are close. James's parents are close.
Yeah, you've got the ideal setup, in inverted commas.
Exactly.
And also everybody expects you to be completely over the moon and blown away by the fact that you are pregnant again.
Exactly.
And some people don't experience those feelings of total joy.
No, and I definitely didn't this time round. But coming towards the end of it, and now maybe it's because Axel's a bit older, like in the time that I've been pregnant, I sort of think, oh no, you do need a sibling. And, you know, it's nice, you know, just seeing friends with their older siblings, especially as adults. That has been okay. But it's definitely been completely different this time around.
And you have had more of a roller coaster with your emotions and
Absolutely.
The tears and the hormones. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it's knowing more. This time, knowing everything that having a child entails.
It's a really interesting thing looking at society on how we are supposed to be built when we find out that we're pregnant. Everybody around us, you know, I'm sure there's a large majority of women who are completely over the moon and elated. I was one of them. I was so desperate to have a child with Dozza. And when I found out I was pregnant with Luna, it was the best moment of my life. And same when I fell pregnant with Kit, you know, because we were told that we would never have a baby naturally.
Exactly.
So it was just, and I'm sure there's going to be lots of people listening that are in my camp. I'm sure there are also a lot of people that would be listening that felt scared, shocked, frightened, worried.
It's a big thing to take on.
The unknown. But there's also those external pressures of everybody else going, oh, you must be over the moon. And then you go, I don't know if I am. And how am I supposed to bond with the bump? And what's happening to my body? And I don't have anyone to talk to. And am I with the right person? And am I okay to bring a child into the world?
Yeah.
All of those things that we don't necessarily think about.
No, exactly. And I think from who we're going to speak to a bit later on, when you don't know the person that you're having a baby with.
Not really.
Like that well. I've got one of my really good friends. She was very young when she had her first. She was 21. And I think she'd been with her partner for like 9 months or something when she fell pregnant. Mm. That's a hard situation.
And the person that we're chatting to today, forget 9 months. They had only been seeing each other for about, I think this is right, 2 months.
Yeah.
And it had only really 2 months, you know, 5-6 dates probably. And she found out that she was pregnant. And she's very kindly come on to the podcast today. We talked to her a few weeks ago. She is currently heavily pregnant. We actually don't know if she's had the baby. We're kind of waiting on the hotline to see if she's had the baby. But when we chatted to her, she was heavily pregnant. And she has been going through a real roller coaster of emotions during the pregnancy. And she's been very vocal about it on her Instagram page. And she's really out there to help other people going through the same thing. So we are absolutely over the moon to be speaking to her today.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Well, how lovely is this? We are so lucky that we get to chat to such amazing guests on this podcast. But today is a really special one. She is a very good friend of mine, the woman that is sitting opposite me today. She is an emotional health advisor. She is a writer. She is a yogi. She is an Instagram agony aunt. She is also pregnant with her first baby, which is a little boy. And we are so, so excited and thrilled that she is with us today. It's Roxy Nafusi!
Hello!
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for coming on.
I love your show.
Oh, great! Yeah. Well, listen, we're so glad that we've got you in today because you have been on a bit of a journey with this pregnancy. And I guess we just want to kind of kick off. For people that don't know you, just tell us, you know, your story.
My pregnancy
Your pregnancy story.
Well, I met this random Australian
who is actually sat in the room. Not that random.
Yeah. So we met on a dating app, and within, you know, he was on his way back from traveling, on his way to Australia. He was here for 4 days, We had a date. He never got on the plane. 10 weeks later, he's like, great, let me go get my visa. Comes back. The day he arrives back, I find out I'm 2 months pregnant. I'm like, well, you're never leaving now.
Wow.
So it was a huge, huge shock. But the reason that I knew I was pregnant was because just before, I had started feeling super low. And I was like, well, this is really weird because work's going really well. And I'm in a new relationship and I'm like so loved up. And you know what it's like, you're like euphoric. So I was like, is it him? And I was like, maybe I don't like him that much. I was like, no, but I was like, it's weird. And I was like, I'm not feeling good. And I was really tired and I kept napping. And my sister was like, are you sure you're not pregnant? I was like, no, there's absolutely no way.
So this was only 2 months after you'd met Wade.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to work out because by the time we've had... Well, by the time it's a year since the day we met, we'll have a one-month-old child.
Okay. Yeah, so, the time's right.
Yeah. So she was like, you must be pregnant. I was like, there's just no way, because I'd taken the morning after pill on the one occasion.
Yeah.
And was... but anyway, I was pregnant.
But the first sign of your pregnancy was the fact that you felt depressed.
Yes, because I was like, there's no reason for me to be depressed. And I was just flat. And I remember we and Wade had gone to the cinema and we watched Star is Born. And afterwards, I started crying. And he was like, what's wrong? And I was like, I feel like I'm mourning my old life. Because I'd done a lot of inner work anyway. And I'd been on sort of quite a big personal journey. And I was like, I just feel like I'm not going back to my old life. I don't know why. I was like, it's like a new me.
That's so strange.
Well, even before you knew you were pregnant. Yeah, it was 3 days before I found out.
Wow.
So there was definitely this sense where I had like shifted and something in me had changed. And I felt, I don't know, I was having loads of flashbacks of like my like 20s and like my hedonistic like lifestyle. And I was like, God, I've just evolved so much past that and things are so different now. And anyway, and I was saying, yeah, I kept napping, but I thought it was because I'd been working so hard that once I had rested, I had just, my body was just like recuperating. Mm. So yeah, it really wasn't, I really did have no idea. So...
it's actually so interesting hearing you speak about that, because with this pregnancy, I'd actually given up my job a few weeks before. I was pregnant, but I didn't know I was pregnant.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was working from home, so I'd sort of shifted like my life, and I was feeling really like just not bothered. Mm. I think that's, I was getting up in the morning and thinking, oh God, and moping around. And I thought that was down to the fact that working from home was just not for me at all. I thought, oh yeah, I mean, this just isn't for me. Like, I'm not this person who wants to just wear leggings and sit at home. I thought I missed getting up and getting dressed and all of that kind of stuff. And then I sort of made a decision to go back to my old job. And then I found out I was pregnant.
Right. It happened like that, didn't it?
It did,
You weren't yourself for a period of time.
I was not myself. It was only about 4 weeks that I was working from home. But yeah. I thought it was because it was winter and it was dark. I mean, I had all these things in my head that I thought it was. But it wasn't. It was obviously just because I was pregnant.
Yeah.
Right.
And didn't know. But it's really interesting because I don't think many people actually speak about that. I've never heard anyone really talk and say that they felt really down and then they found out they were pregnant.
Well, yeah, I think that's why, because it's quite easy, because when I then suffered really bad prenatal depression, I think if I hadn't have felt depressed first, I would have wondered whether finding out was the cause of feeling low.
Right.
Yeah.
But actually, because I felt low first, I can say, yeah, it was hormones, it was chemical, like there was that side of it, because it went that way around.
So let's talk about prenatal depression, because it isn't a conversation that many people have, and actually, I don't think... many people know, like you said, that they've actually got it. So for you, you know, had you heard about it, what were the signs and what has happened to you during this pregnancy?
So, no, I'd never heard of it because I'd heard a lot about postnatal depression. And considering I'm a mental health ambassador, you know, you'd think that it would be something I'd be really aware of, but I just wasn't. It just wasn't something that was talked about, you know. And I think there is such a positive view of pregnancy in social media and you know, in films, and it's this glowing period. And I have felt an immense sense of like guilt, because firstly, I wasn't happy when I found out. I was in shock and I wasn't you know, I didn't really know how to deal with it, and I was sad. And you think, well, you know that how lucky you are to be able to get pregnant. So there's a sense of guilt that comes with that. And then I thought, oh, maybe I'm just adjusting to the change. But because I have suffered depression at times before, I was aware this was much, much deeper than this. And I would say this is probably from when I was, I would say, from 8 weeks pregnant to about 20 was the darkest time of my life.
Oh, wow.
It was a real struggle to get out of bed in the morning. All the kind of classic symptoms of depression, lethargy, no feeling of like any hope for the future, extreme sadness, tearfulness. It was really just so intense. Like when I look back at it, it's like a black cloud of time. And if it hadn't been for Wade to like support me through that time, it would have been, I mean, I don't really know what I would have done. But I told my midwife quite early on. And the NHS are amazing because they're very, very sort of aware that this is a big thing, and they really want to help pregnant women. They're like, you know, it's a big, but.
So you flagged it up quite early on.
I flagged it up early. I was like, I'm really not feeling good. But actually, to get an appointment, it never happened.
Yeah. Mm.
So I was like, oh, God, there are so many people struggling who maybe don't have the support system that I had with my friends and my family. And they probably don't even know that they have it.
That's what I was going to say. Like, you're in a position where you're a mental health ambassador, as you say. So you know what the signs are, you know what to look out for. But I bet there's so many women, especially women, as you say, who have either gone through a really big journey to get pregnant. So then it's a huge shock and, you know, it's very overwhelming when they do. Or they didn't plan on getting pregnant, and then that's a huge shock as well.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah. So I guess for women who you know are pregnant now, and you talked about that guilt, what are the signs? You talked about lethargy, but if anybody's listening and they're like, hang on, is that me?
Yeah, I think it's an extreme sadness which doesn't lift, and it's continuous. So you may get the odd day where you kind of feel good again and you're like, oh, I think I'm better, but it quickly goes back. And it's the consistency of it. That's when it goes from just having like a period of sadness to being really, you know, really suffering from depression and prenatal depression. It's a sense of no hope for the future. It's hopelessness, that gloom, that sort of weight on your chest. I mean, the weight on your shoulders, it's like you genuinely feel it. And at a time where you're supposed to be very excited, and I think that's what makes it all the more kind of obvious in a way, because there's a sense that there is this new life growing inside of you, and there's so much that's going to change, and it's going to be so exciting, and there's so much opportunity for actually to be feeling really good and grateful and happy, and yet you're not feeling any of those things.
Yeah, I think we've both discussed this actually. We've both felt like that on our second babies, that you know you should feel great and you know you should feel really excited, but somehow it just doesn't feel like that.
I mean,
that.
Mine definitely wasn't prenatal depression, but I definitely felt that I wasn't bonding with the bump.
Yeah.
And I wonder if you have experienced that over the last, you know, 8 months, 7 months.
Well, I couldn't get my head around the fact it was real. So we found out the sex straight away. We named him straight away, but just to make it more real.
Do you think that helps?
It definitely helped.
Yeah.
It definitely helped. And now I feel super bonded.
Do you?
But it took, yeah, I would say 6 months was my changing point. At 6 months, everything changed. And that's why I really want to talk about this, because I've had a lot of women message me and just say, I'm feeling so low. Like, I don't know what to do, and I'm so glad someone else is feeling the same. And the fact is it does lift. There is a shift, and you can use this. You know, with anything that happens to you, you can either let it, like, you know, overwhelm you, and you can let yourself sort of suffer in it, or you can use it. And I honestly am the strongest, happiest, most content, most grounded I have ever been. And it has been through that sort of darkness, the growth and how much I've evolved. It wouldn't have happened if I didn't suffer that time. Mm. Mm. So, you know, there is opportunity to really make there's something beautiful for you and give you that strength before you become a mum. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel ready to be a mum now because of this experience.
That's amazing to hear,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, that is. It really is.
What would you say is absolutely key in trying to get yourself better? So, you know, you've obviously, you're in a new relationship with Wade. Are you communicating?
Yeah, I mean, we talk all day long. And I think that is our biggest gift, is we communicate about everything. I mean, I'm very lucky that Wade is very open and he's very patient. But I think the more we try to sort of hold in any feelings, you know, it's always going to come out. But also, people can make assumptions, okay? So if I walked in here, so I walked in this morning and I had a little cry because I was feeling so self-conscious. Mm. If I didn't tell you guys that I was feeling self-conscious, I might have come in and just seemed rude, arrogant, uninterested. But actually what I was feeling was really insecure and self-conscious. So there's always a different way that someone can read your behaviour. So if you're open about it, then you don't have that. So you're not going to leave seeing a friend and think, oh God, they think I'm awful, or they think I'm like this or that. Actually, you can just tell them and they're going to understand and they're going to be there for you. So being open and honest with yourself and your friends and your family and your partner is absolutely the number one key, because you don't owe anyone this like perfect version of yourself to be happy and bubbly and excited. If you're not, it's okay.
It's okay to show vulnerability. And
totally.
Actually, as women and pregnant women, we are literally, especially if you've got, you know, children, older children, or you know, you've had a couple of children before, you have to just carry on.
Yeah,
you know, you've got to
exactly.
be just right. Let's just get on with this. And yes, pregnancy is not an illness. It, you know, you're growing a life and it's the most amazing thing. But there are so many hormonal changes going on in the body. And I think you're absolutely right with talking. You have got to talk to people. If
definitely.
You are feeling low, depressed, isolated, any of those things, you have got to reach out.
Yeah, I mean, there's no other way to do it. And also believe that it will pass. Everything always passes. That's the thing. Nothing is forever. You know, it's funny, when you suffer depression, when you're in it, you really don't think you're ever going to be happy again. And then when you're feeling really happy, you never think you'll feel depressed again.
Yeah.
You just think, oh, I'll never go down that road again. It's really just, mental health is, it's so transient, and you're always on the spectrum somewhere and you're always changing. And it's about sort of going with those flows and the highs and the lows and trying not to attach yourself too much to any one moment. Sort of, this isn't forever. So if you're feeling low and sad, it's not forever. Nothing's forever.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
use that in like a positive way, you know, that movement of emotions and mental health and feelings and love. And
you mentioned today that you felt really insecure and self-conscious. I think that's like really interesting, and what you were saying to us earlier about that and being so open. Can you just talk through like why you felt self-conscious and, you know, how you've been feeling recently?
The changes in your body.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Well, this is a big topic for me, because it's one thing that I haven't figured out the answers to yet, and it's still troubling me a lot. But I've put on 22 kilos this pregnancy, and I'm 37 weeks now, so I've probably still got a few more to go. But that has been incredibly challenging. I've always taken care of my body, and I've always been quite conscious of how I look, and, you know, I've worked hard at, you know, maintaining my physique and eating healthily. And, you know, I think there's a sense of, like, people don't want to say this because it sounds vain, but the truth is, we all put value on ourselves in different ways, right? So it might be how we are at work. It might be the way that we look. It might be how we are as mothers. You know, we all find value in different things. One thing I found value from was how I looked, you know, and that just was. It was something that I took care of, and it was important to me. Feeling good in myself, in my body, and how I looked made me feel good. And I think it's the same for a lot of people, but we don't really want to say it because it makes us sound like we're self-obsessed. And
absolutely.
I don't think that's the case. If we're all really honest, it's not a priority for everyone. It might be the fifth or sixth thing down the line. But for me, definitely, feeling good about the way I look makes me happy.
Was it also people commenting on how good you looked that made you happy? Was there an element of that?
No. Weirdly, no. It's just what I see in the mirror. Mm-hmm. Do I feel confident in myself? And that does, and I just feel better. You know, when I'm fit and I'm healthy and I'm exercising, I'm light and I'm bouncy, and, you know, there's all these good emotions that sort of that come with that.
Listen, so, there's absolutely nothing wrong with liking the way you look.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think most women, well, a lot of women will say that is one of the things that they struggle with during pregnancy.
Is gaining that weight and you have no control over
it. Yeah, not having the control over it. For me, I hated the first bit when I didn't have a bump because I thought I had to make excuses.
Yeah.
Like, people be like, oh, like, you know, well, you haven't told anyone you're pregnant. I'd be like, oh, you know, I'm pregnant. That's why I'm putting on weight. Like, oh, you know, I'm pregnant. That's why I'm eating that. Or, you know, whatever. And I'd say it before I needed to say it.
Totally.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally. It's Yeah, I mean, your body changes in every way. I mean, there has not been an inch of me from head to toe that has been left unturned by this pregnancy. I mean, my boobs are the size of my head.
They are pretty big. I'm looking at them now. They're lovely.
Oh, Zoe loves pregnant boobs.
I love big boobs. Throw it out there.
It's, you know, I would say to Wales, the only thing that differentiates my leg from my foot is like a crease. This is no ankle. It's just a crease. My like sausage toes are extraordinary. But anyway, you know, and it is funny and your body is changing. But I see all these like women with like these perfect bumps and they look amazing and they put on no weight and I'm like, oh my god, to look like that. And you know what, yes, I know my body is doing an amazing thing. I know I'm growing a child. I know all these things that should ease it, but it just doesn't. I am not me. I got asked if I was Roxy's sister the other day. So
it's like invasion of the body snap.
Yes.
You feel like a completely different person, especially at this point in the pregnancy.
Totally.
We need to discuss this more. Your whole body is being overtaken.
And I think I feel when I speak about it, there is a sense of being shamed a little bit for being bothered by it. There's a sense of, yeah, but you're growing a human. It's like, I know I am. But it doesn't make, I still, when I look in the mirror and I catch a glimpse of myself in the mirror, I really feel like an immense sense of like sadness because it's such a long period of time.
Mm.
And it's really, I think, I just miss feeling good about the way I look. It's just, yeah, I miss it. I know I'm going to feel that way again. But yeah, I am... for sure struggling with it still, even this far along, where I'm like, okay, I'm ready to like the way I look again.
It's also simple things like when you're having to dress a bump, if you dressed in one way before and you literally can't dress like that anymore, like for instance wearing high-waisted jeans,
I talk about this all the time,
tucking t-shirts in and wearing blazers, if that's your style and then suddenly you've got a massive bump and you can't you cannot dress like that, it does make you feel a bit lost. Like, it's weird, from my first pregnancy I was more heavily pregnant during the summer. So I was just wearing dresses.
Yeah.
And it was great. And I didn't feel that insecure. And
you hardly had a bump in your first pregnancy.
No, I was quite small. But I still, like, I could just wear dresses.
Yeah.
This time round, where I've been more heavily pregnant during the winter, I found it way harder.
Totally.
And I've been a lot more insecure about it because, and I think it's actually down to just because you have to layer up and you have to wear coats and all of that kind of stuff.
Totally.
That I just feel different about it, which is, you know, silly, but it's just the way it is.
It is. I've got a post-baby outfits Pinterest board.
And
honestly, I love it. I actually really enjoy it because I'm like, oh, I'm going to be back now. I'm going to be able to wear high-waisted jeans again.
Yeah.
I mean, my pregnancy style is nil. It's so, I look...
I mean, I think you look amazing.
You do look lovely. Are they from H&M?
Yes.
They're I think I have them. They're amazing.
I wear black flared trousers every day because I'm like, I don't want to wear like dresses at the moment because it's too cold and I don't want to wear jeans because I'm unconfident about my legs. But these flares, but then I think after I'm pregnant, if I see a black flare, I swear to God, like that's, I'm burning.
Burn them all.
What I really love about this conversation is how honest you are being. And I know you and I love you and you are one of my dear friends. And I guess I'm going to be honest now. I'm sad that you said to me earlier on that you feel you can't look in a mirror.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to bring that up really because I feel, I guess I want to know, I guess what's going through your head when you are looking in the mirror and how you are going to cope afterwards and try and, as you say, kind of build yourself back up again. Because I think a lot of pregnant women will feel the same.
Yeah. It's hard. I just, if I'm like washing my hands in the bathroom and I catch a glimpse of myself, it's just like, I hate myself. It's like my face is just not my face. It sounds so extreme, and it's not, and I don't want, and I really don't want any, and I have this thing as well, like, I even like if someone's like, oh, you look so amazing, I'm like, no, I don't. And you kind of get angry, and it's like, it's not that I want, and I'm not saying this out loud for any reason other than just for other people that are feeling the same to not feel alone. Mm-hmm. But I'm not saying it because I want any pity, because I know this is all my issue. This is in my head and something I need to work on. But yeah, it's, I am shocked that with all the inner work that I do, with all the emotional health advising that I do, that I haven't been able to conquer this one. I've tried very hard. But I think it is for me something that I've just kind of accepted, and it will probably take till the baby is here and I have myself back. I mean, I don't know. It's just hard. I'm just not me. That's it's as simple as that. Mm. It's not the person that I have been for the last like 28 years. It's like it's a different person on the outside, but on the inside, I'm still me, which is great. And it's been an amazing experience for my life to change so much. And I have stepped back from doing a lot of the kind of work that I've done, and you know, if there's anything which has needed me to be photographed, for example, I won't go anywhere near it. Or I've generally been hibernating and not seeing anybody for the last 6 months, apart from very close friends. So work has changed, and a lot of that has been, so I'm very excited for the fact that that time away from everything has given me so much perspective. So that's what I've taken from it. So because I've been self-conscious, actually, yeah, it's been not great for me mentally, but what it has done is given me so much downtime to build my home ready for the baby to come, to find out what I really want to do, what makes me happy, work on my relationship, work out all my plans for motherhood, read a lot. You know, I feel my life is full and rich and exciting, and I'm so looking forward to this next chapter. And I feel like I've kind of had my maternity leave, basically, because I've had this downtime and I've rested so much. So it really has been amazing. And I think with any bad experience or negative experience, you can take what you want from it, and that's the key. You know, pregnancy for me was my experience that I found really challenging. Some people love it, and I'm so happy for them.
Yeah.
You know, and other people struggle as well. But it's just what you take from it. Everything is a lesson. You learn from everything. And this has been the biggest lesson I've ever been through, and I couldn't be happier for it. You know, it was such a shock at the beginning, but it was absolutely meant to be. Mm. And I couldn't imagine my life now if this hadn't happened, because I feel like I have so much more purpose and clarity on everything. So
how is your... That was really inspiring.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
I know. Georgia's got tears in her eyes.
And I don't get tears in my eyes that often. But yeah, I find I absolutely love what you've just said about turning negatives into positives. And I think that is something, if no one takes anything else away from this podcast today, that would be the one thing
to take away. Incredible that you've learned, you know, the biggest, you've just said, the biggest life lesson, even before your baby has arrived. Yeah. You've already been through that, because we say that actually the biggest lesson really is learning, you know, being a mother is just the teaching that you get from that is just unbelievable. When you hold your baby, you know, not talking about the feelings, because some people develop them later, but actually just being like, oh my gosh, now I've got to look after this thing.
That's it.
Totally. You've already been on that incredible journey through your pregnancy.
Yeah. I feel like pregnancy, you know, I always say it's not making just a baby, but you're making the mother. You go through so many hormonal changes and body changes and mental changes, and you're tired and you've got your job, and you know, for so many women, they've got so many things to do whilst growing a human. That, how strength building is that? Like, how proud are you of yourselves afterwards to be like, oh my god, I did that? Like, and then your child is like blessed with a mother who was able to go through all of those things.
Yeah.
You know, and that, so it really is the making of the mother, I think, not the making of the baby. I mean, and the making of the baby, you know, so there's so much more to it. And for me, you know, I love kids. You know, I've got 9 nephews and nieces all under the age of five, so I feel like my brothers have got like three each, so I feel like one is going to be a breeze.
It will be a breeze. It totally will be a breeze.
You've practiced already.
Yeah, but you know, and for me it's like learning now. My next chapter is to learn from my child, because I think you learn more about yourself and about people from children, because with what I do, it's all about going back to our authentic selves. So if you look at, I mean, this is a whole, I won't go delve too deep into this, but if you look at children and their mindfulness and their, you know, enjoyment with play and the way that they're unaffected by other people's, like, for example, if one of my nieces is like crying her eyes out, the other niece is it and having a tantrum, the other niece will still come up and be like happy and in a good mood. She's so unaffected by the negativity around her.
Yeah. So
like,
important.
How amazing is that? Mm. That kids can like listen to another kid crying, and yes, sometimes they're empathetic, but it doesn't bring them down.
No.
You know, they're able to like stay in their own space.
Yeah.
And we can learn so much from them. So that's my next chapter, is learning now from my child.
Are you worried about postnatal depression, and how is your depression now?
So I have absolutely no depression now. It's completely cleared. I couldn't be happier. I am definitely aware of it, and I think that's really good, is if you have been suffering from any mental health problems in the past, anxiety, depression, whatever it might be, you definitely create that toolbox for yourself while you're pregnant. So, you know, try and find things that will help you. For me, my toolbox will be exercise, healthy eating, meditation, yoga, hypnosis. These are all things that I use. And I'm also doing placenta pills, because although there isn't much scientific evidence around it, there's a lot of anecdotal evidence around how placenta pills can really help to decrease the chances of postnatal depression and baby blues. So I'm doing that because I know that that might be something I need, you know, and just being watchful of it, you know. And I think that's key, is just being aware that it can happen and creating a toolbox for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, for both of us, we always say one of the biggest things is not to be afraid to ask for help.
Mm.
Yeah. So when the baby comes, take on all the help
that you can
say
get.
Say yes to all of it.
Yeah, and I mean, both Georgia and I had a bit of the blues. Mine was severe with Luna.
Really?
Yeah, I mean...
How long did it go on for?
About 3 weeks, and I think I probably didn't talk about it enough. You know, I suddenly went into this strength mode of I'm a mother now and I've got to do everything and I'm trying to manage everything, and I just used to shut the bathroom door and I used to howl and howl and howl, and it's
gives me goosebumps.
Oh, it's such a... Because I've never experienced such a wave of emotion, such love, and then such darkness, and it just kept coming. It was like, I just describe it as waves just pounding me constantly. But I knew in my heart of hearts that I didn't have postnatal depression. It felt like a rush of hormones.
Right.
Rush, rush, rush. And this time around, I was so much more aware of it, so I knew it was going to come.
Right.
But I was much more vocal this time.
Yeah.
And I really think, you know, for anybody listening, that is key. It's that communication again. It's sharing and asking for
knowing.
Help.
Yeah, exactly.
And knowing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing that I see or hear about, is the loneliness that comes with being a new mum. And so I really hope that by speaking about it and encouraging other people to speak, that is something that, you know, I can help, and that you guys, I mean, are doing a great job at helping. Because that's, I mean, there are, I think we're all very lucky to, like I said before, to have support networks, but so many people don't.
Who should people talk to?
Family, friends. Do you know, I think the thing is, even if you feel like people don't want to hear it, they do. People want to help other people, I think. Intrinsically, we are good humans, and you're not burdening someone by going to them with the problem. You're actually going to make them feel good anyway, because it's people feel good when they help others.
Yeah.
So use that, and, you know, it's actually a necessity. So find someone, even if you might not have like a really close group of friends, but there will be someone that you know that has, you know, maybe is also a mother, has been through the same thing. Just reach out. There's no harm. Don't worry about being, you know, I'm sure so many people feel embarrassed or they feel like really nervous to initiate that conversation, but just do it. Sort of really go for it, because I promise you will feel better just saying it out loud. And they will respond with kindness. No one is going to shut the door in your face and say, actually, I don't want to help you. It won't happen. And I think that's the fear, isn't it? That you're going to go to someone and they're going to be like, ugh.
But get on with it. You're pregnant. You're growing a baby. Get on with it. You should be happy.
No one's going to do that.
It's not putting the pressure on yourself to be okay. I think if you just think, oh, yeah, some days I might not be okay, some days I will be okay, and you go into it being like that, then you should be okay. You should be okay.
Yeah. And there's also that moment, which we have discussed together, of when you've had the baby and there's no longer a baby in the bump, and then you stand in front of the mirror, and that was, for both of us, a big moment.
Yeah.
And actually, it sort of shakes me a bit now, because you're so used to having this bump, and right. then that's the reason why you've kind of gained weight and everything else, and then you stand there and you're like, that is a big moment. That is a big moment.
How did you cope with that?
Not very well. Not very well.
I found going to the gym for the first time after I'd had Axel, I felt like I wanted to put a sign on my t-shirt saying, I've just had a baby. You know, like, yeah, I am here, but I have just had a baby. So that's, you know, I sort of look like I might know what I'm doing. But, you know, it will work for me. You
and
know,
I will wet myself on a few occasions during this workout. And I will be running to the loo regularly.
Yeah. So maybe go into, like, classes where there are other mums to ease yourself in is quite a good idea. Okay. Yeah,
definitely.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Go on.
I haven't got any in-between clothes. I was saying to Wade, I was like, I've got my maternity, very small maternity wardrobe, and all my pre-baby clothes. Mm. I'm like, I need to get some middle ground
beautiful
clothes.
Beautiful loungewear
is key.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Get yourself some really, really comfy but glamorous kind of trackies.
Yeah. And like jazzy, like gym leggings, because they'll, you know,
make you feel better.
Oversized jumpers, you know, pleather leggings, you know, really cool pair of trainers, just rock around, big shades, you'd be fine.
And a little baby on the hip.
I know. Exactly. I want to talk about your relationship.
Yes.
He is in the room. He is a wonderful man. I know him not very well, but the times that I've met him, he absolutely adores you. Yeah. How are you guys? You guys had got pregnant so soon. Yeah. I mean, did you even know his middle name at that point?
I honestly did not. I did not. Yeah. No, it was so soon, and I am like a bit of a commitment phobe, I'll be honest. So my initial response was to like totally freak out. And because I was so unhappy anyway, I like really pushed him away. I was pretty hard work. And Wade as well was also like, well, I'm in this new country. My family aren't here. I'm about to have a baby with someone who is mental. And, you know, I'm pretty sure he wasn't as happy as then either. But we persevered and we worked together. And we had this conversation one night where we were like, we're not perfect for each other. Like, I'm not your perfect girl. You're not my perfect guy. So why don't we just try and be best friends and try and build this relationship from this lower expectation and see what happens? And what happened is we became each other's perfect partner.
Wow.
I mean, he is like everything I could have imagined. I manifested him anyway, because I'm obsessed with manifesting.
You said but this to me when I saw you in the polo.
Yeah, I manifested him within 2 weeks. I had done all these techniques and then got pregnant. I was like, oh, manifest, like whatever, you know. But now I'm like, he is such a kind person, and I feel incredibly fortunate to be with someone like him, because we are so open. We talk about everything. We have such a strong bond. Mm-hmm. So he's like my family now, and it's really, really, it is so special, and I feel so grateful for him every single day. I mean, he gives me foot rubs, and these are not feet to be rubbed. Like, you know what I mean? Like, bless his soul. He's going straight to heaven. But, yeah, I mean, we're so happy. But, you know, as well, I can't wait for us to be able to date again. 80% of our relationship, I've been pregnant.
Mm.
So I can't wait for us to be able to go out again and go on a date. We didn't get that much time for that. Mm. And it's been fine because, you know, we enjoy furniture shopping together now and Sainsbury's trips. But, you know, I will be really amazing to see him as a father and to be a family, but also actually it's going to be important for us to have some time to ourselves and do that kind of early dating stuff again as much as we can.
So we really kind of want to gauge from you your favorite products. We do talk about this on the podcast, that kind of help you through your mental health and make you feel a bit more stable and kind of settled. So what would you say to anybody looking for some help or some tips on it?
Well, I love reading, so my favourite books are Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway by Susan Jeffers, life-changing book. The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari, also a great one. listening to really good podcasts like this.
like this one.
I also love the Goop podcast. It's got loads on parenting, actually. I'm really listening to the parenting sections now. I've been working with Vern from Carry Fit. So if you have children already, he does this workout. You strap baby on. You do this workout online.
Brilliant.
His community is really great.
Oh,
he's
wow.
been fab. He's, you know, been doing prenatal and postnatal exercise for women for 17 years. So he really is safe. He knows what he's talking about. So finding a good kind of at-home workout, I think, is really great for you. I'm doing placenta pills, which I've heard is really, I mentioned it, to, really great for helping with postnatal depression. I'm using a company called Cherished Placentas. Mm-hmm. They're on Instagram.
Cherished Placentas.
Yes.
And so they take the placenta once you've delivered it.
Yes.
And they turn it into pills.
Exactly.
And then you take them every day for how long? Do you know?
I think... No, I'm not going to say in case I'm wrong.
All right.
I think it's like 30 days, but I'm not sure. And then good loungewear. This comfy loungewear. I found I've got some a really great outfit from Misha.
Yeah,
Misha, nice. Yeah.
It's so great and it's so comfy. So I would say, yeah, and good pyjamas. Primark. I honestly love a Primark pyjama.
Do
Primark
you?
Jersey pyjamas are amazing.
They're so
They've
soft.
Been my favourite this pregnancy.
I really need to go shopping for myself. I haven't got anything new for ages. Primark pyjamas.
Honestly, the Brilliant. Best. Swear by them. And all the ankle socks.
In all the world.
In all the world. They're disposable.
Love it.
Brilliant.
You.
I love you on Instagram. You have created a Sunday community where people, Agony Aunt Sundays, where people come to you and ask you questions and you just give so much of your time and energy. What do you get out of that? And what do you kind of want to create there?
I feel like the reason I am on this planet is to help people. And there is nothing that I enjoy more than giving people advice and helping people through anything. And I think behind a screen, people feel quite able to come to me with their problems. And I spend about 2 or 3 hours every Sunday doing this. And it's honestly my favorite time of the week. I love it. Mm. I just love it. I think Instagram gets a bad name because there's so much of social media that can make you feel kind of, well, pretty shit about yourself, to be honest. And what I want is for people to come on Instagram and leave feeling better than they did. So I want people to have a place where they can feel inspired or heard, listened to, giving people advice and getting people message me and say, oh my God, I did what you said, or I listened to this and this has helped. It is amazing. And I think people seeing other people's questions and realizing that everyone has something is really helpful. And the thing is, everyone's problems are kind of the same.
Mm.
They're either about love or friendships or work, but we're all the same. We all have the same shit going on. You know what I mean? We just don't talk about it to each other. So if I can give people a space to, you know, come and ask for advice, then I want to do that. I want to keep doing that.
She's mega, isn't she?
I know. I just
How amazing
keep, like,
is this woman?
Staring in awe, actually. Like, so many of the things you've said today, I feel like I'm going to take away so much from this.
Oh, don't, guys. So. I've already cried once today.
She's amazing. You are one of the most incredible women. You've got such a big heart. You give so much to other people. You're going to be an incredible mum. And I'm going to not, because I'm getting goosebumps again. Thank you so much for coming on and chatting to us.
Thank you.
Honestly, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Come back after you've pushed that baby out.
I will.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Wow.
I know, mind blown, actually.
Yeah, I feel quite emotional after
that. Oh, God, you can't not be. She was so raw and so honest with how she was feeling. That's a really brave conversation to have. I really respect her.
Yeah, I do. I mean, it's strange, isn't it, that she... When she came into the studio, we thought how amazing she looked and how glowing she was. I obviously only know her from today, so I only know her pregnant. But she totally doesn't feel like that at all.
No, she doesn't. And she is, you know, quite uncomfortable in her own skin at the moment, and she's going through a lot of demons, but she's doing so much work on herself, Roxy, and she communicates so well. So her and Wade, who I absolutely adore,
he's fab.
they are great communicators and they're working through their issues. And I think that was the thing that kind of came out today, was that you've got to talk to your partner.
Yeah,
you've
got
to keep communicating.
Yeah, you've got to talk about how you're feeling, definitely.
I remember after Kit was born and Dozzle went out to wet the baby's head, and the Kit was only a couple of weeks old. I was absolutely fine. I had my mum there. It was not an issue. And he sent me a message going, I'm not going to come back tonight. I'm going to stay out with the boys. I'm staying over at Sam's house. I'll see you tomorrow. And I was like, and when he came back the next day, I was like, you've been cheating. Oh my God. And he was like, no, I stayed at Sam and India's house. Like, I've not been cheating. But it was all of the hormones that were going around in my head. It was like in my body, it was like a crazy influx of feelings. I had no control over them. And if I hadn't said that to him and I'd bottled it all up, I don't know what would have happened in that moment.
You would have created a whole big long story.
Exactly. You've got to keep talking. We normally at this point do products, right?
Yeah, I guess we both feel the same. I don't think it's really appropriate that we talk about products.
Yeah.
One thing that I am going to take away from that chat, though, is the placenta capsules.
Yes.
We've heard lots of people speak about them before, but neither of us have tried them. Mm. I'm going to have a go this time.
Are you?
Yes. So I will obviously
report back
on, yeah. What I thought.
Just don't let your mum get them confused with like her vitamin pills in the morning. Delicious. Thank you so much for listening this week. As usual, you can rate, review and subscribe to the podcast. And if you fancy just hitting a little 5-star for us, we'll love you forever.
Please
do it. And also you can get in touch with us anytime at our Instagram, which is
@MadeByMamas. And if you want to chat to Zoe directly, @ZoeHardman.
Yeah, and we're going to be back next week talking all things motherhood.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.